clerk at the information desk in the main office of the Empire Insurance Company looked up as a bronzed young man entered the door and crossed to where he was sitting.
Hi. My name's Brady. I want to see the general manager.
Oh, yes, sir. You have an appointment?
Just tell him I have some important information about the missing John Dillon.
And so begins another story by The Player, America's most versatile actor, Mr. Paul Frees. But here, before we begin our story, is your announcer. And here is your star, the player, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is the player welcoming you to our presentation of The Missing Mr. Dillon. When Steve Brady mentioned the magic words John Dillon in the office of the Empire Insurance Company, he didn't have to wait long for a reaction. He was ushered immediately into the office of the general manager.
Now, Mr. Brady, just what do you know about John Dillon?
Maybe a lot, maybe nothing. Shall I start at the beginning?
Please do.
I travel, Mr. Gerard. You might call it my business. At any rate, a few weeks ago, I met a man by the name of Edward Johnson. At least that's what he called himself.
Go on.
Anyhow, this Johnson was a strange duck. I saw him only a couple of times, and then I started for home. It wasn't until I got here that I knew anything about the disappearance of Dr. John Dillon.
And what you're trying to say is that Johnson and Dillon are the same man, huh?
I say Johnson and Dillon might be the same man.
Might be? Good Lord, man, don't you know how important this is to us? We've got a $50,000 policy on John Dillon.
I know, Mr. Gerard. That's why I'm here.
Oh, I see. In other words, this is a business matter with you.
You're in the insurance business, Mr. Gerard. I'm in the business of earning money wherever and however I can. Whether it's gold mining in Australia, or pearl diving in the South Seas, or bringing back lost scientists from the dead.
All right. Then let's get this straight, Mr. Brady. John Dillon disappeared completely, leaving a wife who loves him dearly. And a scientific world shocked beyond words, I needn't tell you.
And a $50,000 insurance policy?
Exactly. Now the only point to be settled is how much you want.
The day I walk in here with positive proof, photographs, affidavits, and handwriting samples to prove Dr. John Dillon's still alive, I'll expect a check for $10,000. For my services as investigator.
You drive a hard bargain, Mr. Brady. But you hold the aces. It's an agreement.
It wasn't until arrangements had been completed and Steve left the offices that afternoon that he began to get nervous. What if Johnson were not really Dillon? It was only a strong resemblance that made him think he was in the first place. Funny. A guy like Dillon walking out on wealth and fame and a charming wife, everything worthwhile. That didn't make sense either. But sense or nonsense, $10,000 was not to be overlooked. That night, Steve took the night plane for San Francisco. 4 days later, he stepped off the China Clipper at Honolulu, and less than 2 weeks after that, he walked down the gangplank of a small freighter, which had stopped to pick up a cargo of copra at Huahuna in the Marquesas. As usual, most of the population clustered around the dock to greet the boat. There were a few who smiled in recognition as Steve made his way among them. But it wasn't until he saw the island's resident administrator, René Marent, that he had words for anyone.
Steve Brady. Oh, I am most happy to see you. You have come back so soon.
Yeah. Look, René. How's Johnson? He's still as snooty as ever?
Oh, a strange thing about it, Steve. The day after you left, he disappeared.
Disappeared?
Oui. Vanished complete. His houseboy told me that he left the house one afternoon and never come back. We searched the whole island. He's gone. But, come, let us go celebrate your return, eh?
There's just one thing I want to know, René. What boats have left here since I left?
Boats? But there have been none. You leave, you come back. There are no boats between. But tell me, why do you get so excited about this Johnson?
Never mind that. I'll see you later, René. I've got some work.
Steve made his way back to the dock and went directly up to one of the natives who had greeted him.
Maui. Maui, I want to talk to you.
Oui, Monsieur Steve.
Maui, which one of the natives took Mr. Johnson somewhere and where did he take him?
Maui, no know nothing about Monsieur Johnson, Monsieur Steve.
It's all right, Maui. I know all about it. I know he paid well to get away from here. You see, he's a friend of mine. I know everything about him.
He go Hivoa, place up inlet. He pay much silver.
Steve reached his hand in his pocket and pulled out a handful of change.
All this is yours if you take me to him, Maui.
Maui grinned widely and nodded. Maui and the others paddled swiftly, and at last they were far up a small inlet under the shadow of the lofty peaks that were the backbone of the islands. And a few minutes later, Steve gave Edward Johnson the surprise of his life when he walked into the principal room of his newly constructed hut.
Yes? Yes, what is it? What do you want? Oh, I startled you, Johnson. I forgot you wouldn't be expecting to see anyone out here.
Johnson fumbled in the pocket of his whites for his glasses.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. It's Brady, isn't it? I thought you had left, Mr. Brady.
I did leave, Mr. Johnson, but... Well, you see, I got a commission to do an illustrated magazine article on these islands. That's how I happened to stumble on you.
Oh, you're doing an article? Yes. Yes, I see. Well, I wouldn't want to keep you.
No, it's a pleasure. Steve produced a small camera from his coat pocket.
By the way, I want to take a picture of you.
The camera went to his eye and clicked.
How white men live in the islands, you know.
All right, Mr. Brady. There's no use keeping up the pretense any longer. I suppose nothing would persuade you to destroy those pictures.
No. I'm afraid not, Dr. Dillon.
You know that too, eh?
Yes.
You're a reporter, I presume.
No, Dr. Dillon. The moment I worked for an insurance company.
Yes. Yes, I should have remembered that policy. I should have remembered. Mr. Brady, I'm not in the habit of begging for favors. But if you have the slightest human compassion, I appeal to you. I don't know who you are or what you are, but I beg you not to tell them where I am.
A nice speech, Dr. Dillon, a nice speech. You asking for pity from me when you walked out on a home and a wife. Walked out on the world without a word of explanation.
All right. It's explanation you want, is it? Then maybe I can give it to you. I was a scientist, Mr. Brady. I was happy because I had a great job to do. And the strength and the courage and the energy to do it. And then I had a little success. I took one small step along the road toward finding a cure for cancer. One first faltering step. And then the newspapers heard about it. And they put it on all the front pages. I became a famous man, Mr. Brady. and people came to me from everywhere, asking me to stop their agonies. Oh, it was very funny. All those people. And I could do nothing to help them. I got offers, lecture tours, professorships at famous universities, everything but a chance to continue my work. And my wife, Mr. Brady, my ever-loving wife, who had nothing but my own interests at heart, she hounded me and goaded me and nagged me until I took those offers and destroyed the last chance I had to do something for the service of mankind. Oh, well. Take your photos by all means, Mr. Brady. Take them back. Take them back and let me alone.
It was a month later that Steve Brady walked quietly into the office of J.L. Gerard, general manager of the Empire Insurance Company, and placed an envelope on his desk and a small photograph. He examined it carefully, suddenly jumped to his feet and waved his clenched fist over his head.
You fool! You impossible fool! You went halfway around the world to get this?
What's the matter? Is there, something wrong?
Wrong? Well, this man isn't Dr. John Dillon. You've got the wrong man. And now, sir, will you have the courtesy to get out of here before I throw you out?
Outside on the street, Steve smiled at the picture he'd laid on Gerard's desk. And then from his pocket, he took another photo. He looked down at the image of the weary, bearded man pictured there.
All right, Dr. Dillon. This is costing me money, but they'll never. No one will ever.
And so ends another story by The Player, starring your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return in just a moment after a few words from your announcer.
Missing Mr. Dillon was written by Tommy Tomlinson and produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and performed by Rami Idris. Special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Gary Goodwin. Won't you join us again when we present another exciting story for your entertainment? This is The Player, Paul Frees, saying goodbye until next we meet.